In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, July 22nd, 2016 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Last night at the Republican National Convention here in Cleveland, Ohio, Donald Trump gave his first official address as the GOP nominee.
Friends, delegates, and fellow Americans, I humbly and gratefully accept your nomination for the presidency of the United States.
Right out of the starting block, Trump emphasized law and order.
Americans watching this address tonight have seen the recent images of violence in our streets and the chaos in our communities. Many have witnessed this violence personally. Some have even been its victims. I have a message for all of you. The crime and violence that today afflicts our nation will soon, and I mean very soon, come to an end. Beginning on January 20th of 2017, safety will be restored.
Trump assured the American people that he would at least deport illegal immigrants with criminal records who are a safety threat to American citizens.
Nearly 180,000 illegal immigrants with criminal records ordered deported from our country are tonight roaming free to threaten peaceful citizens.
He unveiled his future administration's credo.
Americanism, not globalism, will be our credo.
In a personal reference to his father, we learn about why Trump respects working-class Americans.
My dad, Fred Trump, was the smartest and hardest-working man I ever knew. It's because of him that I learned from my youngest age to respect the dignity of work and the dignity of working people.
That's why he's empathetic with those working-class Americans who've lost their jobs as a result of bad trade deals.
I have visited the laid-off factory workers and the communities crushed by our horrible and unfair trade deals. These are the forgotten men and women of our country, but they're not going to be forgotten long. These are people who work hard but no longer have a voice. I am your voice.
Trump wants to apply his competitive business instincts to the country as president.
It is time to show the whole world that America is back, bigger and better and stronger than ever before.
Republican Senator Ted Cruz stood his ground on his refusal to endorse Donald Trump for the nomination yesterday. Cruz explained that he was, quote, not in the habit of supporting people who attack my wife and attack my father, unquote. However, Cruz said he is committed not to criticize the Republican candidate. Sadly, the leaders of the Republican National Convention did not call for a day of repentance over the sins of the nation. Rather, Trump invited a homosexual to speak in what Fox News called another first. Peter Thiel openly declared his homosexuality from the podium.
I am proud to be gay. I am proud to be a Republican. But most of all, I am proud to be an American.
Plus, the Republican Party chose a Muslim to offer the closing benediction Wednesday night at their national convention.
So much energy. I can smell the success in the air. I feel the change. I see the spirit. And let's pray. Take some time. Let's pray for a strong America, for a safe America. And let's ask God to make us strong to fight terrorism all over the world.
Salid Tarar was given several minutes to offer a prayer to his God at the ceremonies, and a chorus of amens were heard after the prayer. Deuteronomy 5:7 says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He's another pro-abortion candidate for president, and he's polling at 13% against Trump and Clinton. Libertarian Party candidate Gary Johnson showed up at the Republican National Convention in hopes of siphoning off a little Trump vote in the November election. Psalm 11:3 asks this question, "When the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do?" This year, California schools are starting the kids early with instruction on the ideology of Sodom and Gomorrah. California Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tom Torlakson, called it, quote, a big win for the students, unquote. Second grade students will learn about so-called family diversity, in which some children have two fathers or two mothers. Fourth graders will study the life of Harvey Milk, a homosexual leader in San Francisco from the 1970s. These public schools are urged to participate in LGBT History Month, in which students learn that Catherine Lee Bates, composer of America the Beautiful, was a lesbian. Matthew 18:6 says, whoever shall offend one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned at the bottom of the sea. A group of Israeli rabbis are protesting the annual march of proud homosexuals in Jerusalem this year, calling the march an abomination. The parade through the holy city was expecting 10,000 participants. Fox News Chief Executive Officer Roger Ailes has resigned after 20 years of serving at the top of America's conservative news flagship. He resigns amidst accusations of sexual harassment. In a recent editorial, Todd Starnes of Fox News calls Ailes the, quote, original, gun-toting, Bible-clinging, son of an evangelical Protestant, unquote. Ailes is attributed with keeping one news source in America conservative, hiring news commentators like Bill O'Reilly and Sean Hannity into the Fox News family. A billion-dollar business, Fox News is the number two most popular channel on cable behind ESPN. Proverbs 7:23 issues fair warning of sexual temptation for every man among us. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hastes to the snare, and he does not know that it is for his life. The Washington Post has featured an article on the Church of the Age of Pokemon Go, pointing out that church leaders are using the game as part of the service, even drawing attention to an occasional visit from one of the imaginary monsters. However, Eric Ludi, pastor from the Eldersley Mission in Windsor, Colorado, told Christian News Network that such gimmicks serve to, quote, diminish the quality, the power, and the integrity of the amazing, life-changing truth we have to offer, unquote. And that's the World View on this Friday, July 22nd, in the year of our Lord, 2016, reporting from the Republican National Convention here in Cleveland, Ohio. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
This is the Generations Radio broadcast. My name is Kevin Swanson. Steve Vaughn in studio with us today. Just a couple
Hang
of
Hang on, I'm trying to catch one of those things over there. Wait, I've got my smartphone.
Hey, Steve's out here.
I got it.
Steve's working on his Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go. We're going to talk about Pokemon Go on this edition of the Generations Pro broadcast. Just in the last week, 7.5 million people have grabbed Pokemon Go. That's just in the United States. And a few days ago, it was crowned the biggest U.S. mobile game ever with more than 21 million active users each day. What is that, 10% of America?
Yeah.
That's a lot. Wow. Here's a preacher from Cleveland, Ohio, apparently was preaching from Philippians chapter 3, and he was carefully exegeting the chapter when he suddenly trailed off and muttered that he had to take care of something very real quick before walking briskly out the side door. While staring at his phone, leaving the congregation stunned and confused, bewildered parishioners peered out the church's window to spot Pastor John with his smartphone extended, frantically swiping at the screen to throw Pokeballs at what turned out to be the fire-type Pokemon Growlithe. Once the virtual monster was caught, Walton performed a brief victory dance before sprinting back to the pulpit and picking up where he left off, according to eyewitnesses. These people are really into it, Steve.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a true story or not, but they're into it.
Yeah, I'm seeing people staring at their phones, and that's what I'm guessing as they're walking, just kind of aimlessly
walking into
around.
Traffic yeah. in downtown Denver.
Yeah,
this kind of thing is taking off across this country, and I want to spend some time on Pokemon. We did a show on this, I think, about 10 years ago, and I was raised in Japan, where this kind of thing was pretty common. The idea of monsters, and again, the Pokemon thing comes from the idea of pocket monsters. And I was raised in Japan where there was, these kids were pretty much always aware of the concept of spirits, ghosts, and demons. The nation is in bondage to fear and fear of the unknown, fear of spirits, and so forth. I remember my friends wouldn't want to go into the woods with me. We'd go out into the woods to collect these stag beetles, called kabutomushis and kuagatamushi and so forth, and we couldn't get our friends to go with us into the woods because they were afraid of these sorts of things. Now, the Japan has been working hard to try to develop kinder and gentler spirits, and I think that's what we're finding with Pokemon. Now, the idea of Pokemon, in most of the incarnations of the fictional Pokemon universe, according to Wikipedia, a trainer encounters a wild Pokemon, and that's what they're hunting, by the way, with their phones. They're hunting the wilds. Apparently, somebody's placing the wilds out there, and they capture these Pokemon by throwing a specially designed mass-producible spherical tool called the Pokeball at it. If the Pokemon is unable to escape the confines of the Pokeball, it's officially considered to be under the ownership of that trainer. Afterwards, it will obey whatever its new master commands. Unless the trainer demonstrates some lack of experience, the Pokemon would rather act on its own accord. That according to Wikipedia. Now, Here's what CARM, one of the apologetic ministries, says about Pokemon. Basic Pokemon cards depict creatures that fight for you against other people's Pokemon. Evolution cards depict Pokemon that are able to evolve into more powerful creatures. Energy cards are united with other cards to give the Pokemon more energy needed in carrying out the trainer's orders. Now, they seem like a friendlier monster, a little bit like Monsters Incorporated, except with a little more of an attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm guessing. That's what it seems
Pokemon,
like.
The Pokemon were supposed to be monsters that have special powers, and they share their world with humans. So this is the idea of the Pokemon. Now, okay, some have associated Pokemon with witchcraft, and we got to define witchcraft before we get back to Pokemon. Witchcraft has to do with the harnessing of power. Here's one article online speaks of witchcraft. When times were bad, shamans, medicine people, witches, other types of sorcerers would cast spells and perform rituals to harness the power of the gods. So it's a power capture thing. The idea is to achieve or obtain some kind of power for yourself. Witchcraft is a broad term. There's another definition of witchcraft in which magic is used to manipulate, coerce hidden powers in order to act on specific events or individuals. Manipulating hidden powers in order to benefit or heal people or to cause them harm. So this is the quest for power. So, you know, again, we get back to witchcraft. Again, they're Christians who are associating Pokemon with witchcraft. So what's witchcraft? What's Pokemon? Well, witchcraft is the quest for power from the earth, from demons, from spirits, anything but God. But the problem is that the quest for power is insatiable in fallen man. He tends to be seeking power all of the time. It becomes a controlling passion for him. See, so again, if you see that man has a basic problem, he's drawn to the quest for power. He has insatiable interest in power. And oftentimes he'll cross the line to seek it from the earth and from demons and spirits, sans God. That is, he doesn't want to involve God in this. He doesn't want to acknowledge God to be the source of power, the sovereign source of power. So if God is not the sovereign source of power, he seeks it elsewhere. Now, so what about these games? That's the question people are asking. Now, what happens in the games is that human beings, who, as I said, are very given to the quest for power by nature. That's an insatiable seeking for fallen man. What happens in these games is that play acting takes on this power quest. Now, again, it's just play acting. And that's why people can say about Pokemon or some of the other imaginary games, we're just play acting. It's just a game. Get over it. It's just a game. The problem, of course, being that you know how kids work. You know how you work. You know how anybody works. Sometimes it's not a game. Sometimes we cross the line in our mind from game into more of a serious matter of exercising the quest for power that is insatiable in the heart and the mind of fallen man. So there is a tendency to walk over the line. So that's the issue. There is a line here. And granted, it's play acting. You've got to, of course, be careful. Do you want your kids playing a game called Serial Killer where they get to sort of like the serial killing thing? Are you with me here?
Yeah, that sounds like Grand Theft Auto and some of the other.
You can walk over the line. Yeah. See, so there is a caution, of course, in this. Now, the Pokemons are monsters. We've called them Pokedemons in the past. I think it rolls off the tongue just a little bit better. So the monster or the demon is malevolent in a soft core way. These are not sanctified angelic beings. And they're not animals either.
Yeah.
They speak to humans. They speak to each other. Now, all of them speak, some don't. But they do speak to each other. They're rational creatures that speak to each other. And there's a certain amount of power that resides with them. Now, monsters that are malevolent, rational creatures that sometimes speak to humans that have malevolent powers, but they're not human. What does that sound like to you? Sounds like a duck, quacks like a duck, smells like a duck. It's probably
a duck.
Be back in just a moment with more on the Generations Radio broadcast.
Our freedoms are disappearing in the Western world. Big government tyranny is on the rise just about everywhere. Some Christians are going to jail in America for their faith, while others are fined $135,000 for refusing to bake a cake for a homosexual wedding. Has freedom become a lost cause? Have we forgotten why brave men gave their lives for freedom in bygone eras? Discover the remarkable struggle for Western liberties over the past 2,000 years in Kevin Swanson's latest book, Freedom. In this seminal work on freedom from a Christian perspective, Kevin Swanson first defines the term and then traces the struggle for freedom through biblical times and church history. You will read the battle for the Magna Carta, the Scottish War for Independence, the Dutch War for Independence, and America's War for Independence, and the Bill of Rights. Order Freedom online today or download the free sample at generations.org to get a vision of freedom for Christians in the 21st century. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.
We are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson here today talking about the new fad that's sweeping across all of the developed world, and that is Pokedeen, or Pokemon. Pokemon Go, I call it Pokedeen because it rolls off just a little bit better. It's the Pokemonster, it's the Pokedemon, it's the thing that was developed in Japan, and now it's taking off, especially with this new app that people can use for their iPhones, which actually also compromises privacy, as it turns out.
Yeah, it's interesting that you brought up the fact that man has an insatiable desire for power. Uh-huh. And here's the question. Okay, so with Pokemon Go, you're looking for sort of an artificial power.
Yeah.
But there's another aspect of seeking power that's involved in this, because when you sign up for Pokemon Go, guess what Google gets? They get full access to everything on your phone, including being able to read your emails, look at all your contacts. They don't get your they don't get any financial information. They don't get any of your passwords or anything like that. But they know exactly where you are, what you're doing, anything that you're looking at on the internet. They read your emails. They can do all of this.
And this is who?
This is Google. Google is able to do this in order to then send you and press you with all of this advertising and things like that that you will buy. They can tell everything about you. So they are gaining power over you. Have you ever noticed that when you have searched anything on Google and then you go to something else, that you find all of these ads that keep popping up. My wife and I are looking for a refrigerator. So I looked up some refrigerators on Google. And then now anytime I go to a news site and I'm looking up on Fox News, looking up on anything else, I start seeing advertisements for these refrigerators, seeing advertisements for all of these other things that we've been looking for on Google. So that's where they're getting their money. They're making $2 million a day for a while on this Pokemon Go. Why? Because they have the power of looking at everything in your private areas that they can then use to try to advertise directly to you.
Well, then what should Christians do when it comes to games like this? And we have talked about some of these power-oriented games, these Power Quest games, especially those Power Quest games that involve these fictional characters or imaginary characters that have demonic type qualities to them. They have certain powers. They're rational creatures with malevolent tendencies. That, my friends, is Pokedeem or Pokemon. And so the question for a lot of parents is, should my children be playing this game? Should we be playing this game? Should we be play acting the Power Quest sans God? Should we be play acting this even though it is a game? Now, I think we ought to be careful with any sort of a game that we play. There's certain games in which power, money, et cetera, becomes the quest, becomes the thing that everybody goes after. And I mean, I'm talking about Risk. I'm talking about Monopoly, games in which the goal is to dominate everybody else or to gain all of the money on the board, create a monopoly, and impoverish everybody else. I think there are points at which we have to be cautious. We have to know what we're play acting, and we have to be careful that we don't go so get into the play act that we take on the world view and we begin to act out those particular approaches to reality, in reality. So, friends, be careful with all games. Games is play acting. When you play act the Power Quest, it can be something of a risk for your family. So just keep these things in mind. Be careful with any games. Remember, they're metaphoric of something. Games are metaphoric. They're metaphoric of certain things. And when we begin to take on the real qualities in the real world of the game that we're playing, it can be a negative for our Christian family. So be very, very careful about these sorts of things. You know, there's an added aggravation about Pokedeem, and that is these imaginary Pokedeems that have these personalities and have certain rational characteristics and have some abilities to communicate with humans. Friends, this should cause you some concern, I would think. I would think a parent would be concerned, especially if their children have vivid imaginations. Think about kids who already have issues with imaginary friends. By the way, stories abound on this. Friends talk about their kids who have come up with his imaginary friends and the things their imaginary friends tell them. There's a couple of stories I picked up online. A parent of one of my students told us in a meeting that she was concerned because her son, 7 years old, talked about an invisible ghost who would talk to him and play with him in his room. He said the ghost was called the Captain, was an old white guy with a beard. The kid would tell his mom that the captain told him when he grows up his job would be to kill people. And the captain would tell him who needed to be killed. The kid would cry and say he doesn't want to kill when he grows up. But the captain tells him he doesn't have a choice and he'll get used to killing after a while. Okay, that's a story that comes online. And, you know, there's a dime a dozen. Here's another one. When my daughter was 3, she had an imaginary friend named Kelly who lived in her closet. Kelly sat in a little rocking chair while she slept, played with her, etc. Fast forward 2 years later, the wife and I are watching the new Amityville movie, and our daughter walks out right when the dead girl goes all black-eyed. Far from being disturbed, she says, "That looks just like Kelly." Kelly who, we say, you know, the dead girl that lived in my closet. Now, again, these are stories.
Yeah.
These come out of the imaginations of real kids. And this, again, is somewhat of a dime a dozen. But I think we as Christian parents need to be concerned and interested in what our children are thinking about. Remember, do remember, friends, that demons are real. That at some point, children and adults do open up their minds and invite imaginary friends to a more front seat role in their minds and in their lives. And this being a concern for Christian parents, the imagination or the mind can be used by the devil, especially if it is not sanctified by the truth of God's word. So keep these things in mind. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, Hatred, variants, emulations, wrath, strifes, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, the world, of course, is characterized by things like witchcraft, strife, variants, emulations. And this is the sort of thing that, of course, is being promoted by these demons that do battle with each other. Of course, it is based in the works of the flesh, filled with hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies. Friends, this is the kind of thing that characterizes the world. Deuteronomy chapter 18 also warns us about witchcraft. When you enter the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to imitate the detestable things of these nations. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, one who uses divination, one who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For whoever does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable things, the Lord your God will drive them out before you. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God, and so forth and so on it goes. Now, in the post-Christian world today, we don't particularly invite infanticide, witchcraft, and cannibalism. You know, we don't just put that on the front page of the newspaper. We don't sell apps that finds the areas in which you can cannibalize somebody most easily, or where you have the most access to the spirit world or the demon world. We don't have apps that tell you how to do that. They wouldn't sell very well. What we have in the present world is what I would call Pepsi Light or Miller Light. Everything's light.
Mm-hmm.
You get the light form of it. You get infanticide light, which we call abortion for the health of the mother. That's infanticide light. You see, it's much nicer. It's a gentler form. It's a more acceptable form. That's the way we do it today. It's not infanticide. It's infanticide light. It's abortion light. That's where 78% of evangelicals take the birth control pill with its abortifacient capacities. It's just abortion light. I mean, come on. It's just a contraceptive with an abortifacient quality. That's all it is. It's not infanticide. You don't have grotesque witches raising knives and slicing into live babies at 2 or 3 weeks of age. I mean, it's just abortion. It's just abortifacients. It's cannibalism light. That's vampirism. And lots of little teeny bopping 14-year-old girls are enjoying their latest vampire novel where the good guys are sucking the blood, but they don't kill the victim. I mean, come on. It's just cannibalism light. Or adultery light. Serial divorces where your leading candidates for political office have 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 divorces. It's not adultery. It's just serial divorces. It's not the gladiator games. It's the gladiator games light in the form of the Hunger Games. I mean, come on. Come on, everybody. It's witchcraft light. All we're doing is play acting with semi-malevolent demons here. You know, we're just chewing around the edges a bit. I mean, come on. See, they don't fully commit. It's not the epistemologic is self-conscious. I'm doing gladiator games. We're cannibalizing. We're going to do infanticide. It's not that. It's just light. We just take the Miller light for now. For now. For now.
Yeah, and it's not that the Pokemons are controlling you. You're controlling them. So you're the one that has the power, right?
Well, for the time being. And that's, of course, how witchcraft works. You control the demon while he gives you a bit of power, and then you feel like you've got a little bit of power over the spirit world for a second until you don't anymore.
Yeah.
It's a switcheroony.
You that's know, the hook. Yeah, bait and switch.
I always pull a switcheroony on you. And of course, if the trainer can't control the pocket demon, then eventually the pocket demon gets out of the trainer's circle or whatever it is, and now he no longer has control over the pocket demon. So again, friends, these are the comparisons between the play acting and the witchcraft that is being play acted in the Pokemon game. But friends, what's happening with the world is that there is still a little bit of a conscience left. So man wants to cover his sins. There has to be something of a self-justification. He doesn't really want to come out with full-fledged paganism yet. There seems to be something of a conscience left. So they don't want to go all the way and just say, hey, let's do infanticide. Let's cannibalize people. Let's call ourselves witches and be done with it. Nobody really wants to do that, Steve. The world is caught in the grip of sin. I think of 1 John chapter 5, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in the wicked one. And they really do walk according to the prince of the power of the air, having their conversation in lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and are by nature children of wrath, even as others. That's Ephesians chapter 2. This is what defines the world around us. But what is it with Christians? Christians are released from the power of the prince of darkness. Christians are no longer under the power of the devil. They have no interest in it. They are set free from the bondage of fear. They no longer really desire to run after power and lust after more control. This no longer has dominion over them anymore. They're no longer on the power quest. Christians are released from that because God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, he raised us up together with Christ. So it is God who quickens the dead, and we encourage those who are bound to the draw to the world, the draw to witchcraft, the draw to the quest for power, the draw to the quest for more power and money and lust and these things, those that are caught in this terrible bondage, and those who are caught in the fear of the world and the fear of the evil one, can be released from these things by trusting in Jesus Christ, who overcame the evil one at his death. Indeed, he beat principalities and powers into the dust at the cross when he died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. So as we wrap up this edition of the program, let me bring a couple of directives to Christian parents. When it comes to issues like Pokadim, number one, don't give credence to malevolent creatures and seek to gain power from them or seek to get more power for them. So just keep that in mind. That's not what Christians do. Christians don't give credence to malevolent creatures by seeking to gain power from them or to seek to get more power for them. That's not what Christians do. Secondly, don't stir up your child's imagination and encourage play acting that would pave the way for seeking more power from real monsters and the real demons who are happy to give a little power here and there in trade for a human soul. And then, of course, they'll destroy that person. So don't stir up a child's imagination and encourage play acting that would pave the way for seeking more power from real monsters and real demons. And then thirdly, watch out for escapism where imagination takes a child away from the real truth and the real world. The escapism of the modern game world, the escapism of the modern internet, the escapism of the modern movie deal and the sci-fi thing and all of the rest of the 1,000 escape ramps off the highway of reality will take us away from the reality of God himself, will lure us away from the truth of God, that he is sovereign, that God is the absolute source of all power, that God has sovereign over the devils. And if the king of the devils himself, Satan, wants to bother Job, he has to ask God's permission to do so. Friends, we have to teach our kids about the real world and about the real truth, about the real God, and about the real problem with real men and the real judgment, and then the real redemption that Jesus gave for us on the cross. So let's acknowledge the real truths and be sure that our children aren't being sucked into the fantasy world of a pseudo-truth and a pseudo-world. And we don't need to be creating wars between animals, humans, or imaginary poka-demons either. Let's be careful that we're not training our kids in the area of constant warfare and creating warfare as the basic way in which humans live life or Christians live lives. That's not the way we ought to be living our lives. And be sure to teach your kids to resist the devil, and he will flee from them. Let's not invite the devil in by idle curiosity. Resist the devil, and the devil tends to influence us through the mind. When we begin to think thoughts that are not inappropriate to what the Word of God says, that is, things that are not pure, things that are not lovely, things that are not of good report, things that are not of good virtue, things that are not praiseworthy. When we're thinking of these sorts of things, no doubt it is the demon that is affecting us. Resist the devil, the Bible says. Resist these thoughts. Resist these thoughts with biblical thoughts, and he will flee from you, even as he walked away from Jesus, as soon as Jesus began to give him the truth of the Word of God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you, and encourage your children to think on these good things, from Philippians 4 and verse 8. Folks, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. I encourage you to get a copy of my book, The Tattooed Jesus. When it comes to these pop cultural ideas, be sure that you are well-equipped to discern these things and to argue them from a biblical perspective. That's why I wrote the book, The Tattooed Jesus, What Would the Real Jesus Do with Pop Culture? A little softback book available at our website, generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.